Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
I'm Brian. I'm a father of three girls.
My name's Nathan, and I'm a father of two boys and a girl.
My name is Antoine. I'm a father of one daughter.
He couldn't figure out how to do it. So what do you call a bodybuilding dinosaur? T-Flex.
Okay. I heard we were supposed to bring some cheesy jokes today, but I couldn't think of any that were Gouda.
The lawyers were to court.
Lawsuits. That's good. I heard they have a new restaurant up on the moon. It's really good food, but no atmosphere.
What do you call a belt with a watch on it?
I don't know.
A waste of time.
All right.
What do you call a deer with no eyes? No idea.
Let's see. Did you hear about the noodles that are fake at the grocery store? They're impostas.
Why were the strawberries upset?
Because his mom and dad was in a jam.
That's pretty good.
Close.
What?
Close enough.
Close enough where you're not giving the answer. Yeah. Did you hear about the coffee that had to file a police report? They got mugged.
That's a good one.
What did Paul Revere say when he left a barber shop? The British are combing.
Oh, goodness.
What kind of shoes do chickens wear? Reebok?
Back you said Reebok? This is the guy. Oh, okay. What is a giraffe's favorite fruit? I can't even say it. What is a giraffe's favorite fruit?
Fruit?
Yeah. Nectarines.
Oh my gosh. This thing is something with tall. What do you call a cow with no legs? Ground beef.
What do you call a dog with no legs?
Hot dog.
Oh, it doesn't matter because he's still not coming.
Wow, that's a good one.
Something I did to entertain my kids, to get them to be quiet or just mess with them, is the detachable fingers. And then the straws, the musical straws, go to a restaurant, give your mom nuts. Yeah.
Show business.
Yes.
Well, we bring you nothing but the best of quality entertainment. Just want you to be blessed by that. Happy Father's Day, everybody. How are you today? Good job. You came. Good. Good to know. All right. Well, are you ready for the word today? Good, because I'm ready to share the word with you today. I'm super excited about the word in my heart. Let's welcome everybody on the internet. Would you please? Good morning. God bless you wherever you're watching from. I especially want to thank those of you that are on vacation right now and you're tuning in. You're choosing to bring Life Church with you. I think that's so special, and we just want to thank you for being faithful to connect. Grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right, we're going to get into the Word in just a minute. I want to kind of lay a foundation of where we're going today and talking about the altars. I am going to be talking to the men in the room and the dads, of course, but obviously we're talking to everybody today. I really wanted to use Abraham. He was on my heart this week, and while I was preparing, not just this week, but getting ready in the weeks prior to this service, in focusing on the life of Abraham on Father's Day. Obviously, Abraham's the father of many nations. And he's kind of the key father in Scripture that God used his life to impact the rest of the world. And so you have Father's Day, you might as well look at Father Abraham. Now, I toyed with the idea of making you sing the song, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, but I felt like maybe I'll let that pass this year. Maybe next year we'll do that. You can come expecting that next year. But the spirit of where we're going today, what I really sense in my heart, I really believe today is more of a prophetic message. It's something where it's not to be listened to just for the information. I'm going to give you a lot of information. We're going to go through some different stages of Abraham's life. But I really believe that you'll find yourself in this illustrated message. You'll find yourself in this message of Abraham. And what God's wanting to do is actually engage you or re-engage you to awaken your passions, awaken your interest in life, and to do more in the next 2 to 5 years, no matter what age you currently are, than you've ever done in your past. Basically, the best is in front of you, not behind you. Amen. And what God wants to do is inspire you today, but not just to feel good, but to get you moving in that direction. And we're going to use the life of Abraham and even his altar moments to make that possible today. So the idea today is about re-engagement. Some of you have checked out. Some of you have kind of just been drifting in your life. And God designed, I'm talking to dads right now and men, God designed you to be adventurers. God designed you to desire to co-conquer and build, and he wants you conquering and building again. Now, obviously, ladies, you're included in that, but today as we're talking to dads and things like that, I want to re-engage that wild heart, that passionate heart that God has put inside of each of us, but especially into the dads today. Here's the phrase that the Lord told me to share with you to get us started today, and it's this. You are not tired, you are under-inspired. You are not tired, you are under-inspired. Ushers, if you'll hand out those tokens that I have for everybody today, you are not tired. Hear me say this, and I'm speaking this, I believe, by the Spirit of God. God is awakening something in you. Too many people that I come in contact with talk about how tired they are in life. They have no passion. Every day is kind of a drudgery. Just getting out of bed becomes difficult. There are people, they act as if they're 150 years old and they're only 27. They're like, oh, you know, life is so, and oh, and. That is not the spirit or the attitude of the body of Christ, amen? That is not who God designed us to be. God has put passionate life in front of us, and that's what I want to awaken in you. The thing is, you may not be inspired enough to get out of bed yet, but by the end of today, what God's about to speak to you, what God's about to show you, you are going to be so enthusiastic that there's another morning. You don't wake up and go into mourning, right? You wake up and you go to work and you go into conquering and victory in Jesus' name, amen. That there's a reason to get up out of bed every day. That's what the Lord's going to impart into you today. It's this lack of inspiration. Now, your current job may not be all that inspiring, but do you realize once God reveals the kingdom in you and through you, even that current job, now it's a platform, it's an avenue for you to change and transform people's lives, and you can even go to the most boring job and make it the most exciting adventure, amen. And so the Lord wanted me to remind you today about the potential and the passion that you should live by and that we can live by. I want to tell you today and remind you today that you are filled with God's Spirit. Stop looking at your body, stop looking at where you've been, and stop looking even where you currently are, and start looking to what God is about to do in and through your life. Stop looking at your body. The reason I say that is too many people look at their physical body. You might even be in a wheelchair today, but I'm telling you, if the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. You see what I'm saying? And your body, it just has to get somewhere, even if you roll there. Amen. Because if you show up, the kingdom shows up, and the potential of the throne of heaven is just rolled into the room, somebody. But we have to stop making excuses with our mind that because of my physical body or my age or when I was 20 or 30, I was important. You are filled with the Spirit of God. That is what the world needs to draw on. That is the solution and the power that is on the inside of you. That is why I say it's beginning to remember who you are and what's on the inside of you that will inspire you so you realize I need to get places, I need to be there, I need to show up because when I show up, God shows up. Amen. We're not tired, we're just under-inspired. You are anointed. No matter what your physical body is going through right now, that anointing on you is still fresh. No matter your age, no matter your gender, no matter your current financial situation, you are anointed with the Spirit of no less than God Himself. We are not anointed with different spirits. Come on now. The word anointing is what is upon you, is what God has placed upon you. And He has placed upon us His Holy Spirit. And remember, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, not a spirit from God. Did you hear what I just said? Not random spirits. You are each, all of us each are filled with the same Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus of Nazareth to go around doing good, healing all who oppress the devil. The Spirit of God is linked to God because it is God, and God is unchanging. God changes not. He is eternal, which means the anointing on your life doesn't grow old. The anointing on your life doesn't wear out. The anointing on your life is just as fresh today because it's always now with God. There is no time with God. Are you hearing me? We have to remember, I'm trying to awaken you today of the fact that to be inspired, that stop looking at your body, stop looking at your age, stop looking at your bank account, stop looking at where you've been, stop looking at your current condition of where you are. There may be trouble there, but none of that limits what God can do in and through your life. Because it's about what God is doing. You look at your own arm of the flesh, or you look at your own situation as if the potential lies within what you can see, rather than the potential lies in the God on the inside of you. The potential goodness, the potential victory, the potential breakthrough in ministry that God's going to do is all about what God is going to do. That anointing on you, the Lord brought this to my remembrance in worship today, just to try to help you remember that anointing stays fresh, and it's not contingent upon whether or not you're 80, 90, or 100 years old, or what your outward body is doing. And it reminded me of Elisha's bones. Those of you are like, what about Elisha's bones? Elisha was the prophet I talked about last week. When he died and was buried, his flesh had, you know, decayed off, and his bones were in this cave somewhere, and the Bible says that there was this group of friends that were carrying a dead body of their friend to bury it, and a bear or a lion or something came out and scared them, and so they took the friend and they threw it in the cave that was nearest by, threw his body, the dead body in there, and they ran away. But the moment that corpse hit Elisha's bones, the corpse was resurrected. Now you tell me that you're worse off than Elisha's bones? Well, Pastor Kevin, I'm older, or I'm weak, or I'm old, or whatever. Stop it. The anointing doesn't age. The anointing is linked to God. You just have to go. You have to be available. You have to open your heart and your mind today and let God inspire you that there's more ahead of you than what's behind you. Stop looking at where you've been. Stop looking at where you are and start looking to the God on the inside of you that has called you by His name, filled you with His Holy Spirit. Amen. Stop making excuses by what you see and put your eyes on God again. Amen. Amen. So we stop staring at where we've been. We stop staring at where we are, and we begin to look up. We begin to look up. Now, let me use this little token I gave you as an illustration. Now, I'm going to ask you to use the fruit of the Spirit of self-control and not snap each other with this during the sermon. We just said we're full of the Holy Ghost, and one of those spirits of gifts that we have is self-control. You can do it. I know all you're thinking about right now is snapping your neighbor on the leg just like that. And now that I've sewed it in your mind, it's worse. But I want to use this as an illustration, all right? Hold it up just like that on your finger, if you would, please. Now, the picture is this. The rubber band right now has no potential energy really in it at all. There's no energy there. There's no expectation there. It's just kind of hanging out there. And that's where many of us are in our lives. When we're staring at where we are, when you're just looking, now look down right where your feet, you're just right where you are, there's no stretch there. There's no faith there. Matter of fact, there's a lot of fear there. There's a lot of worry there. There's a lot of paralyzing things just looking where you are. And even just looking where you've been to create faith. Looking where you've been doesn't necessarily create faith either. You know, there can be some hurt back there. There can be some disappointment back there. There can be some challenges that you didn't overcome in the past. What I am so thankful for is what God's about to do in your future. He may utilize some of those things in your past, but he's not bound by your past to create your future. He may choose to use some of it, yeah, but he's not limited to. Well, there was a place to say amen. But you notice there's no energy. There's no faith happening here. When you're looking at where you are, and this is where some churches are, some pastors sometimes, they get discouraged when they just look at what is or what has been. But God is trying to get you to look further up and further out. And I'll talk about that in just a second. You can do the same thing in your life. If you're sitting there in your life, you're only talking about what is. You're only looking at what's already happened. You're only building potential on what you can see with your natural eyes. It's kind of like this. There's no stretch. There's no faith being expressed. There's no passion there. There's under-inspired. Do you see what I'm saying? You're not tired. This is a tired, wore-out little rubber band. But all of a sudden, when God begins to speak to you, what God is doing is he begins to paint a preferred future, begins to paint a higher picture of what he wants to do. Now, do this with your finger. What do you feel on that bottom here? Do you feel potential energy? Do you feel pressure to move up, right? To carry you up to what? What God is telling you. To a greater vision than what you currently see. See, if you're only looking at where you are, where you've been, there's no energy, there's no faith. No wonder you don't want to get out of bed. But when you let God begin to talk to you about what he wants to do in the next 2 to 5 years, what's it doing? It's pulling you out of bed. It's pulling you into action, pulling you into prayer, pulling you into getting closer to him in the word. Why? Because there's a reason. There's expectation. There is a hope in a future. And that is beginning to what? Create faith and energy, passion to get you going again. What God wants to do, God is not just looking at you saying be compassionate. God wants to tell you what he wants to do, and in doing so, he's creating the tension that's going to get you going. Can somebody see what I'm saying there? This is God's way. God doesn't use guilt. God doesn't use fear. The enemy does that. What God begins to do is begin to paint his hope and future in front of your eyes, and he begins to say, if you want that, you're going to start coming towards it. But we have to make a decision to stop looking at just where we are. There's no energy complaining and whining and sitting there in fear and mulling it over in your head about where you are or even mourning about where you've been. The only way to get moving again is to become inspired again. See, we're not tired, we're under-inspired. And typically it's because we're hanging out uninspired people. We're hanging out with other people that are just dangly rubber bands. Now you're gonna begin to identify them in your life. You can hear them complaining about what is, living in the past, and in your brain from this day forward, you will now picture them as a dangly rubber band. Oh, I know you. You're a dangly rubber band. But you start getting around people that say, in the next few years, God has promised me this. God is beginning to talk to me about this. What does that do? That begins to what? Move you up. It begins to get you going. It begins to create the energy to get yourself back into action again. And that's when you hang out with God. God doesn't sit there and focus on your present or your past. God's going to be talking to you about a hope and a future. Why? He wants to move your life somewhere. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, now to Genesis chapter 12. And I'll show you how God did this in the life of Abraham. Now, I'm going to go back and forth using the name Abram, Abraham, because it's the same person. You might be new to church. His name was Abram at first, but God changed it to Abraham. And so just depending on how it flows out, I may call him Abraham just because I'm used to saying Abraham. Whoops, there's a cap on that. All right, Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. This is God coming to speak to Abram. Let me paint the picture really quick of where we are here. This is right after the flood. This is right after God's dealings with mankind. Up to this point, there was a shift in God's way of doing things. But up to this point, God had been moving and working throughout humanity. Now, there was a prophecy that the Messiah was going to come through Eve, or through the seed of Adam and Eve, that a Messiah would come and crush the devil's head. Do you remember that? Okay. But up until this point, there was no identification of which family line that was going to happen through. In this stretch moment, in this word that God gives to Abram, God identifies Abram's family now as where the Messiah is going to come through and bless the whole world. So it's an interesting change in the world's culture here and what was going on. God dealt with all humanity through the flood, and then it was right after the flood, God approaches Abram and says, now through your family, I'm going to reveal myself to the world, and I'm going to bring the Messiah through your line. That's a huge shift. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country. Basically, you can underline that, get moving. And from your relatives, from your father's house. Let me just qualify that. Look what he's saying. Where you've been, and where you are, let me begin to paint a picture. Let me get you moving. Isn't it the same kind of scenario? To the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. What's God doing? He's painting a picture. I will make you a great nation. Now, up to this point, Abraham has no children. He's 75 years old. His wife's about 65. They've been unable to conceive up to this point. And so God begins to talk to him about a nation coming from him. I will bless you. I will make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. So then he even gives him purpose in the blessing, not just for him, his own life, but he's going to be blessed to be a blessing to other people, put mission into it. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's Jesus being talked about there. Because through his family, everybody in this world has been affected because Jesus came through the line of the descendants of Abram. Are you seeing this? Okay. Now, there's a couple things I didn't teach on last night, but I'll just bring it to your attention here. God said, I wanted to bless you. I wanted to move you into a preferred future and a vision. But I want you to notice something here. It wasn't that Abram was earning God's blessing in going on the journey. It was that God had the blessing for him on the journey. And so what we can't do is stay where we are and expect the blessing that will come upon our lives about when God is saying where we should go, where we are. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but it's like too many times people want to stay put. We want to stay where we are, but we want the blessing we would have had if we would have gone where God talked to us about. The blessing is in the journey. The blessing and the growth and the anointing and all the stuff is, God was not trying to make Abraham earn it. He was saying, there's a blessing for you, but you have to get going and trust me and follow me there. And so what God's going to talk to you about today, the work and the things involved is not about earning the reward or earning the blessing or even earning what it is he's painting the picture, but you will have to go. You will have to move. You will have to engage yourself. You can't stay where you are and receive the vision that God is talking to you about. You have to be willing to get into action. Amen. And so what did Abram do? Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken. God said, go. Abraham started to go. The Lord had spoken to him, and Lot, this was his nephew, went with him. Now, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, his wife, and his nephew Lot, all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to you and your descendants, there's the idea of descendants again, I will give this land. So God was painting the picture. So what did Abram do? He built an altar. Here's these altars again. Abram heard from God, and so Abram had an altar moment and got with God about what he just heard. There the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west side of Ai in the east, and there he built another altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Abram journeyed on, continuing toward the Negev. Now, God promised Abram land and he promised him descendants. And God began to speak to Abram about using his family to bless the whole world through his seed. God was stretching Abram. Abram was 75 years old. And in one encounter with God, listen to the word, what happened to the word of the Lord. Listen to this. Abram was 75. He's hanging out in his father's house. He's really not traveled much. He's been in the same location. He's familiar with it. There's not a lot of expectation there. And God, out of nowhere, comes to Abram and talks to him about his hope and his potential future. Begins to paint this picture of you're going to own this land and you're going to have these descendants. But it's bigger than that. It's not just about land and descendants. The word that God speaks to him is he literally tells him that through you, Abram, this one guy in the middle of the desert, he's going to say, through your family line, the whole world is going to be changed through your family line. He prophesied Jesus into the life of Abraham. That's awesome. The word was bigger than just Abram's current situation or what Abraham could have asked, thought, or imagined. Literally, that word that came from God that Abraham wasn't expecting that day, by the way. Abraham didn't get up to get a word from the Lord that day. The Lord had a word for Abram that day to get him into motion. Maybe you came today with low expectations of what you might receive, but I'm here to tell you what God is going to talk to you about today may not only change your current family situation or location, it may also change the fate of the entire world. Do not limit what God wants to say to you. And you say to yourself, well, who am I? Abraham could have said the same thing. I'm not saying that Jesus is going to come through your line. He's already came, but there may be people, children, grandchildren, there may be solutions to world issues and problems that God sows into your heart. You see, when God spoke that word to Abraham, the power of his word to perform that word also went into Abraham. Abraham was made able to have children, which he was never made able to have children before. His wife was set on course to have children, though they'd never had it before. You see, God didn't consult their past or their current situation to get permission to what God was going to do in Abram's life in the future. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My goodness, the word that God gave him wasn't just, I want to give you some money and some land. He told him, I'm going to save the world through you. I'm going to save the world through you. You may not be alive to see it, but what I'm about to start in this moment is going to rock the planet. The hope of the world was bound in the word that Abraham heard. You hear what I'm saying? Abraham didn't earn that. Abraham didn't qualify for that. It was a work of Almighty God who was looking for a partner, who was looking for a willing vessel, who would raise their expectation and get moving when God said, would you raise your eyes, raise your faith a little bit? Let me do something in your life. Let me get you moving. Let me inspire you. Abraham could have said, no, I want to stay in Haran. I want to stay with the familiar. I only know this land. I only know my father's gods. But Abraham was allowed himself to see something bigger, and it was attractive enough to get him moving. God is, no wonder God talks about big things. He wants to paint the picture big to get you moving. It's worth your life. Sometimes we just want God to talk to us about the light bill. God wants to talk to you about so much more than the light bill because it's big enough. God knows what he can do. He's going to talk to you from his perspective. Amen. And he wants to make it big enough to make it worth getting out of bed, worth getting on your knees in prayer, worth getting in the word to hear God, worth saying no to sin and yes to righteousness. The picture is big enough, amen. If your picture is just getting out of hell, then you feel like it's already happened. I know Jesus, but God wants to, and that's why people get lazy and bored and they get tired. So I'm telling you, you're under-inspired. God's got so much more to do in your life than just to keep you from burning. Genesis chapter 13, let's go there. God does it again. And I love this about God. Watch this. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 through 18, Lot, Abram's nephew, parts ways with him. He kind of gets a little greedy, and he's being blessed because his cattle and his household is in Abram's household, and the anointing on Abraham is so strong for blessing that Lot's family gets super blessed. And so then he says, look, our cattle and our servants can't be next to each other because they're starting to argue. The blessing is so great, it's overtaking us. And so they decide to part ways. There's a whole other sermon in that. I just don't have time to preach it to you today. But the reality was when Lot parted ways with Abram, Lot's life went down because the anointing was on Abram's life. Lot didn't realize that. He thought it was on his own life, but that's a whole other story for a whole other day. What he should have done is work out his differences with Abram, but anyway. I'm not going to leave the one that has the blessing. Come on now. I'm going to understand how this thing works. They're not getting rid of me. I'll figure out how to make my servants behave themselves. Man, stop it. Control yourself, Kevin. Listen. So Abram takes the high road, and he tells Lot, you choose which land you want to receive as your inheritance. And Lot, being the humble man that he is, takes the best land, thus leaving Abram with the leftovers. Doesn't matter to Abram because the blessing of the Lord is on Abram. You can give him dirt and he will make something out of it. Amen? Come on now. So Lot takes the premier land, takes the best land. Now, here's the thing, though. That could have wounded Abram, could have discouraged him. It would discourage you, don't you think? No matter how godly or righteous you are, you brought your nephew, you brought your family member with you because of your life. They've been blessed, and now they forget about that, and they want to go live it on their own. And by the way, they want to take the good land. Don't tell me that you're not going to be a little annoyed by that. And so in that discouraging moment, in that moment where Abram could have been like, what is the deal? I'm left with the leftovers. I'm discouraged. I got some betrayal going on here. What does God do? Does God let Abram sit there and focus on the betrayal? Does he let him sit there and focus on his wounds? Does he sit there and let him get caught up in that Lot got the best land? No. God goes back to do what he did before. He says, Abraham, let's look up again. Abram, let's get your eyes up again. Stop looking down and where you are, where you've been. I'm going to paint that picture and we're going to get you moving. Keep you moving. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Man, that's a sermon right there. Underline that in your Bible. Don't look at where you are. You look up from where you are. Come on now. Don't stare at where you are, where you've been. You get your eyes higher. You look, God was telling him, Abraham, don't look at where you've been. Don't look at where you are. Look up from where you are, which is awesome because it doesn't matter where you start from. Because it's not contingent on what God's about to do. Look from the place. It could be the worst place. It could be a good place. It could be an average place. He's just saying, look up from where you currently are. Look up from where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can be numbered also. Arise! There's God getting him moving. God does not want him staying still. Arise, walk about the land. Underline that in your Bible. Walk about the land through its length and its breadth, for I will give it to you. Then Abram moved. There he is again. He obeyed God. He got into action. Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And there he built what? An altar to the Lord. He continues to meet with God about what God has said, to keep that faith, to keep that encouragement. Now let me talk about this just for a minute. God told him to start walking the land. Now you know that didn't take one day. This was a journey that he went on. Now, our Bible moves real quickly in sentences, and in literature, you can miss the amount of time something took because it's two sentences next to each other. God said, arise and walk, and Abraham walked the land, but it doesn't say that took like 40 days to do it. Does that make sense? We don't know how long it took. We just know he did it. But it's not something you can do in 24 hours. And so what was God doing? Why did God tell him to walk the land? Here's what I believe. You don't have to believe this, but I do believe this. I believe God was telling Abram to walk the land so that he could conceive that promise in his spirit. That everywhere, day after day, he's still walking, and God is saying, this land belongs to you, and this land belongs to you, and this land belongs to you. And what's it doing? Abram's getting it in his spirit. How big, how wide, how vast the promise of God's inheritance to him is. God didn't just tell him, you know, sit in your tent, and I gave you this big promise. God wanted him to get the size of the promise into his spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? For Abraham's benefit. Imagine God could have been speaking to him, because there was no cities there yet, or none of Abram's cities, none of the cities of Israel yet. God could have brought him through where the future Jerusalem was going to be. The future Bethlehem was going to be. Arise and walk the land. Get this land in your spirit. Maybe Abraham started to see families and started to see synagogues and started to see homes and places of celebration to worship God. And he's sitting here. He still hasn't had any kids. You hear what I'm saying? But yet God is showing him, you're going to have whole cities and villages here and whole cities and villages there. Arise and walk, arise and walk. Conceive it in your spirit. And I want to challenge us today. God was stretching him, but this is something that we need to start doing with what God begins to talk to you about in your life. How can you conceive of or conceive, like receive it into yourself, how can you conceive what God is talking to you about in your spirit and stretch on a greater level? For some of you, God has been talking to you about some things, but you've been sitting at home trying to get it to conceive in your spirit. And God wants you, and this is what I felt, and it'll help you stretch and get you moving. God wants you, in your context, to walk the land. To walk the land. Do you hear me now? God's been talking to some of you about owning some businesses. You need to go visit some businesses. God's been talking to you about some corporate victories and some prosperity on corporate business levels. You need to go sit in the lobby of some very large businesses and take some selfies of yourself. Get all dressed up in a nice suit, the nicest suit that you currently have, and you buy some briefcase that you don't even have any papers in it yet, and you walk into that lobby with a Starbucks because it's expensive. Yes. Don't go get the mobile coffee. You need the $5 coffee for this. And you take a selfie in the lobby of the fanciest business in town. What is that doing? It's making you look and see and get and conceive on a larger level whatever God is talking to you about. Does this make sense to you? For some of you, God is talking about a future home and residence for you and your family. You need to start going and visiting some open houses of houses you cannot currently afford. That's like walking through a land and not having any children. You see what I'm saying? And seeing children and seeing villages and cities. Does it mean you're going to buy that house? No. But it means that something in you is beginning to imagine and open up your heart to a greater expectation than where you currently live. You need to start driving some cars that you can't currently afford. You realize God knows how to bring the income into your life so that one day you will be able to afford that. And the vision's not about the car. God is just using the car to teach you how to activate your expectation, to teach you how to see beyond what currently is. I'm not talking about worshiping cars like idols. Cars are just vehicles. What I'm trying to help you see, though, is that God is just trying to help you to get out of the box. God is trying to help you to raise expectation. Do you see what I'm saying? For some of you, God's talked to you about ministry and building orphanages and building feeding programs, but you've not gone overseas to visit an orphanage or a feeding program. You need to get it in your spirit. It's not going to grow just hearing it once from a platform. You walk the land. Get on a plane and fly to a mission field and see those orphanages that one day you will build. Amen. You can sit here and just talk about it and talk about it, but you need to see the land. You need to get it in your spirit. You need to talk to the boots on the ground and learn and glean from them. Are you understanding this? Get it in your spirit. Start talking to people that are doing the things that God has talked to you about. Start following their leadership, reading their books, going to their conferences, getting it in your spirit, being around people that are moving up and out and forward. Get away from those people that want to stay stuck. Walk the land. Start acting, dressing, responding, learning like the future version of yourself that you see. There's a phrase we use in our staff. It's called lead from the future, act in the now. Lead from the future, act in the now. If you see yourself being a professional in the future, then start acting like a professional now. You don't start acting like a professional once you become a professional. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You don't start acting like a king once you become a king. You start acting like a king and you will become a king. Is anybody with me today? You don't start acting like a success to become a success. In your actions of success, you become a success. You lead from the future, you act in the now. Listen, Abraham didn't start walking the land when there were cities in the land. He started walking the land before there were cities in the land, and one day there were cities in that land. Who do you want to be? What do you see it? And now start acting and responding and that, making those choices towards it now. Amen. The baby is weeping for our destinies. So wants us to achieve the vision of God for our lives. People, listen to Pastor Kevin. Listen to him. The baby's heart is stirred. Genesis chapter 15. One more time. God does it again. Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and have no heir to my house? The heir is Eleazar of Damascus." That was one of his servants. Abram said, "Since you have given me no offspring, one born in my house to be my heir, then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your body, he will be your heir.' He took Abram outside and said," look, I'm telling you, there's a pattern here. "Now look toward the heavens." What is God doing? Every time Abram wants to complain, get discouraged, start looking at what is, God begins to tell him to look up and out again, doesn't he? Do you see this? And I love it. Do you understand? Abram's saying, I'm older than the first time you talked to me. It's gotten worse, like harder for you, God, to bring me a descendant. Not only am I getting older, but my wife is getting more mature. Never older, but more mature. She celebrated her 29th birthday 6 times. That would make her really old, but you know what I mean. But God doesn't consult where you've been. He doesn't consult your current reality to determine whether or not he's able to do what's in his heart to do, which is why we want to get around God, because God knows what God wants to do, and he'll create it if he has to. It may never have happened in the history of the world. Doesn't matter. He doesn't look at the history books to create the future. Someone. No one had ever been raised to life either, and God decided to do it. No, a virgin had never given birth to anything, and God knows how to do it. Amen. And here Abram, God begins to inspire him. Notice, he doesn't rebuke him for lack of faith. He doesn't rebuke him for being discouraged. You might be discouraged today. You might feel like it's too late, it's impossible. God isn't angry with you. What God wants to do is to get you alone with him at an altar and begin to talk to you again about the stars that still lie ahead of you. God isn't here to make you feel bad. He's here to re-inspire you, re-engage you by your faith. Amen. And he can do in the last decades of your life more than you've ever seen in the future or first decades of your life. But you have to be willing to go and come out and start looking at the stars. What if God said, "Come and look at the stars," and Abraham said, "No, I want to look at my feet. I want to sit in my tent and self-pity." Abraham still had the action of going and letting God talk to him about the stars. Amen. "Now look towards the heavens, count the stars if you're able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. That's just a very famous passage of scripture that we all come to. Here's what I want to share with you about this season of Abram's life. And I think some of you are here today. And Sydney, you can come and get me ready to close here. Abram had seen prosperity. Up to this point, Abraham had already seen lots of money. He'd seen lots of wealth. He'd even seen victories in battle. He had many soldiers and servants, and he'd conquered some different kings. So he'd seen some battles already won. But his heart longed for more, for a purpose and a meaning that would outlast his life. He longed for a legacy. Do you see this in his son? The reason I say that is this. I believe this is where some people are today. You've already seen success in business. That is not the stretch that God can get you moving. See, sometimes when you retire or you've already made your money or whatever you're going to do, money is not what's going to get you out of bed. You've already been there. For some of us, money gets us out of bed, okay? But what I'm saying is, for some of you, money's not it, because you've already made the money. You've already got enough to retire on, and so God isn't going to be talking about businesses and things like necessarily to go produce finance, because that's not what's going to raise your expectation. Some of you have already achieved some great victories. Victories in business, victories in your marriage, victories with your kids, victories in so many ways. And so again, you can become bored, you can become uninspired, because you know what? You've planted some churches, and you've built some business, and you've done some things in education or whatever. But there's something missing in Abram here. He's had the money, he's had the victories, but what he wants is this meaningful thing, this meaningful heritage that will outlive him when his life is over. And I believe that's where God's going to talk to some of you today. When you come up, God's going to start talking to you about some ideas, some ministry, some vision that it may not, like I said, it may not, you may not need the money. You may not need some battle won. You've already won them. But God's going to start talking to you about this next season of your life, building a heritage, a legacy. So what you build will outlive you. And that will be what inspires you as you get up in the morning to become a part of some things that are bigger than your family, bigger than the money that you've needed, bigger than the victories that you were looking for in your life, and become something that become victories for the kingdom that are lasting. Are you understanding that? I remember a testimony of a lady when I was at a general council, and it was about 4 or 5 years ago. She was 100 years old. And at 100 years of age, the Lord spoke to her about going and building a retreat center in Israel. And so she gets on a plane. She flies to Israel with some of her friends, which I wonder how old they were. Flies to Israel, learns, listen to me, learns how to buy land in Israel, and then becomes a contractor to build the retreat center. There are people in their 70s that are like, well, you know, I'm too old. Stop it. You're not tired. You're under-inspired. And this lady built that retreat center. I think she was like 100, what was she, 103, 106 or something when she was giving her when she was giving her testimony in front of like 10,000 people. She built it to the glory of God. You have no idea what God may speak into your heart today if you'll give him the space at the altar to talk. But he wants to re-engage you. He wants to re-inspire you. He wants to give you the legacy life that you want to live. He wants to talk to you about a hope and a future, but it's about us getting with God and letting him speak to us. So if I can get my prophetic team to come up, why don't you all stand? I'm going to get my prophetic team to come up, and I ask that they'd stand on the left side here of the platform. They'll stand on the left side. We're going to leave this side open over here. We're going to get ready to receive you at the altars today, and then obviously you're dismissed, and you can go enjoy the, you know, the trucks outside and some of the cars. I know there's more coming later, but, you know, make yourself available as long as you'd like. But here's what we're going to do. I know that the Lord wanted me to awaken you today to what's possible if you'll just let God talk to you about your next 2 to 5 years and beyond. For some of you, like Lot, you've had a great discouragement or disappointment happen to you, and rather than getting stuck in it, God wants to talk to you immediately to get you moving again before you have a chance to become stuck. And you need to let the Lord talk to you. So over here, we have some of our prophetic team, and they're available. You can come closer. You don't have to be hidden in the dark or anything. Over here. They're willing to pray with you, and who knows what God may say through them into you, and it'll be a great blessing, I promise. But for some of you, you don't need a prophetic team ministry. You need to let the Lord speak to you alone at the altars where God will begin to deposit things into your heart. Now, if you come to the prophetic team, I ask that you record it for later so that you have it. You value it enough to listen to it again. But you know what? Sometimes we forget to do the same thing at these altars here without a prophetic team, because God is going to speak into your heart, and what he says is worth writing down. And so I would bring your phone up here, put on a notepad or something, and you begin to type what you hear the Lord telling you. And you let that become the stretch. You let that become raising your eyes to see the stars or counting the sand of the sea or something like that. You let God awaken and inspire you again. I'm telling you, you are not tired. You are not wore out. And I'm gonna say this, you are not finished. You are not done, amen. There is more anointing. Again, that anointing is as fresh as God. And until God calls you home, you've got a lot more you can create, amen. Lot more if you raise your expectation, and it'll be worth getting out of bed. It'll be worth getting out of bed. Let me bless you as we dismiss you today. Heavenly Father, I pray as people come and encounter you at the altars, as they encounter you with their prophetic team, Lord, I ask that you would speak. I ask that you would share your heart, your word to them today, Lord. Lord, I bless this moment as they come to the altars and you deposit and you paint the picture for them, God. I thank you that something strikes a chord in them, sets a fire on the inside of them, God. Lord, I thank you for the next. I thank you for the hope and future. Lord, we thank you for redeeming our past, using it. But God, we do not allow our past to confine or control where you're going to take us. Lord, our expectation is linked to God, and we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. God bless you. Happy Father's Day. You are dismissed. Altars are open.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.